This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin was salatu was salamu ala rasulih sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wasallam ajma'in. I wanted to share some thoughts and some impressions from my Mubarak stay in Medina Munawwara while they're still fresh, while I'm still here, especially regarding my meeting of some ulama, one of which is my teacher Ustaji Mawlana Hassan, who is currently the Amir of Khatm Nubuwwat in the country of Pakistan, which is an organization of ulama that strive to protect the integrity of the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and its delivery. Obviously, Allah Ta'ala is the one who protects the integrity of the message, but like our mashayikh say, if a king vows to defend a city, he doesn't just himself take a sword out and stand at the gates. Rather, he has his own chosen and select and elect people, his own officers and his own soldiers that he that he posts at the gates of the city in order to effect his word of protection. And like that, Allah Ta'ala has chosen his elect and select people by which he carries out his decree in many cases. And those people who Allah Ta'ala chooses are very lucky and fortunate and happy people indeed. Ustaji Mawlana Hassan is a very interesting person. He is a very abnormal person. He is essentially a villager. To this day, he has a very strong accent when he speaks, even Urdu. He's a very simple person, almost a deceptively simple and humble person. His grandfather was one of Mawlana Ilyas, rahimahullah ta'ala's, original Mewati companions in his effort of da'wah. His father was a person who loved ilm so much that he literally studied every day of his life. In madrasa, he refused to sit and take exams. Rather, up until his old age, he kept attending classes again and again, and he refused to graduate. He wanted to be a person who lived and died as a student of knowledge, which maybe in the beginning part of this ummah was something more common, but nowadays is very rare. Mawlana Hassan himself, mashallah, is a person of so many fadail. It's difficult for me to recount all of them, except for that he's a person who essentially took a derelict madrasa in Lahore and started teaching there everything, because all the asatiza had abandoned it, and he taught from 10 in the morning until 12 at night, which is, by the way, still his routine. He'll teach from 10 a.m. until midnight or after midnight. He sits in one place, students come and go. Like that, he trained several generations of ulama, mashallah, all of whom are dyed in the special color of love that he himself imbibes, and that he just seems to really radiate and emanate. And so Mawlana Hassan comes every year for Hajj, or at least during the Hajj season he comes every year. And for this year and last year, I've had the honor of making his service and his khidmah in Medina Munawwara after the days of Hajj have passed. How can I say, people of so much ikhlas and so much sincerity, living in America, you kind of get jaded because everyone is so materialistic. Even our Islam, even our ulama, even our everyone, it's just the place has this like materialism, it rubs off on people. And then I start to think about, the ways of our teachers, and I think maybe I was naive, maybe I was naive to see, and just wrote in you know, interpolated a sincerity that maybe wasn't there, that's not humanly possible. And then we see these mashayikh again, and you're like, no, they really actually were that sincere, maybe even more than what we had thought at that time. It wasn't a dream, it was a reality. And just seeing the way how gently and how lovingly he interacts with every person and everything in this Mubarak city, really accentuates the remembrance of that sort of love. And all the things he says, I mean, maybe if I transmit some of them, you would think, oh, that's not really such a big deal. That's very simple. Everybody knows that, Everyone knows the importance of sincerity. Everybody knows the importance of love. Everybody knows the importance of these things. But part of the baraka is in what he says, and part of it is in how he says it, just the complete sincerity. So one of the elder ulama in Medina Munawwara from the subcontinent, there's one Maulana Abdul Qadir, who is an elder, very advanced in age. He's a mujawir. He just worships in Medina Munawwara. You'll see him once you know who he is. You'll notice him all over the place in the Masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by all hours of the day and night. His son once told me that when he was younger, he would stay in the masjid for days on end. Now that he's old, he comes home once every 24 hours, and then he spends the rest of the time in the masjid. And he's the ustad of many, many ulama. I know many people who have read from him. So Mawlana Abdul Qadir came to visit Ustadji Mawlana Hassan at the apartment that he was staying at. And Ustadji Mawlana Hassan, being himself an innovative student of knowledge for life, he asked him, Can I read at your hands? And despite being one of the senior ulama of Pakistan, his books are actually taught in almost all the madaris of Punjab at least. He asked Mawlana Abdul Qadir, can we please read the books of Iman from the Mishkat al-Masabih from you? And Mawlana Abdul Qadir obliged. And Mawlana Abdul Qadir, very old man. He is not like a very big guy. He's of diminutive stature. And very soft, very old. His beard is white. He has a kind of a sloppily put on turban, as if to fulfill the sunnah, but without much care for, pretense or showing off. Thick glasses so thick that you see them, you have mercy on him, you feel bad for him. One of his eyes seems to have stopped giving him vision years ago. And I could only count three teeth in his mouth. His feet are bandaged up and filled with sores, and he has a horrible cough. The air quality, is very difficult on many people over here. But despite that, he's always seen all hours praying somewhere or another in the Masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So here he is, him and Ustadji Mawlana Hassan. And Mawlana Hassan is reading from him the Kitab al-Iman of Mishkat al-Masabih. And, despite being a person who is, of such, that time has been so rough with, he's such a beautiful person. Like, physically, when you see him, he's such a beautiful person. And you might think, okay, you're biased or whatever because you have your love for the ulama and this and that. But, I even saw, someone came and brought a little baby girl, maybe 2 years old, for dua to him, and he gave he took the baby in his arms, and she gave him a hug. And usually small children are really sensitive to people who are different, or sensitive and like a little scared, but this girl just really like gave him a hug and loved him so much. And when it was time for her to go back, her elder sister reached out her arms to grab her. She said no, and she hugged him again. And and I thought, there is something here. There's something here by Allah Ta'ala's fadl. There's a kind of a beauty and softness. Allah forgive me for describing this way, but I don't know. There's a lovability that's there. So here's these two people, very spiritual people, very lovable people, and one of them, both of them being senior ulama, and one of them is reading hadith at the feet of the other, and I'm by Allah's fadl along for the ride. And so what happens is the Kitab al-Iman comes up, And so Mawlana Abdul Qadir says, Iman is a word that has a number of meanings. It can mean the original tasdeeq, or the original acceptance of Allah being one, and that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. Or it can also mean those actions of the heart, you know, those good deeds of the heart. They're not physical actions. The physical actions are often referred to in the athar as Islam, but the actions of the heart. And so he started to talk about the virtues of guidance and of having iman. And so he very gingerly and very happily, smiling, he told the story of a Hindu businessman who owned a publishing company in India during the time of the British. And he narrated this story from Mawlana Shaykh al-Hadith, Mawlana Zakariya rahimahullah ta'ala, that this Hindu owned a press, and he had so much respect for the Quran that he ordered all of his workers that you cannot touch anything with regards to the printing of the Quran or the printing of books that have to do with deen, because he printed all sorts of books. So any any Quran that's being printed or any book of deen that's being printed, you have to have wudu when touching any of it. And he was very strict in keeping this protocol and respect for the book of Allah and for the books of deen. So much so that he had made arrangements that there were stations, water stations and wudu stations everywhere in his factory, so that if someone's wudu broke, that he could immediately make wudu again. And he was a man who was known to show great reverence for the book of Allah Ta'ala. So, Mawlana Abdul Qadir, he was saying that, you know, there's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that when the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's shafa'ah, when his intercession is going to be accepted, then the people of this ummah, according to their rank, they'll be allowed to intercede for those people that they knew that had iman. And everyone, you know, the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam will intercede, the sahaba radiallahu anhum, the ulama, the awliya, the salihin, the average rank and file of the Muslim, everyone, you know, the people who themselves got out through intercession, then they will be able to intercede. Everyone will intercede. And then after that, Allah Ta'ala, when everyone says, no, all the people of Iman are gone from Jahannam, Allah Ta'ala will show His creation, you know, His rahmah, that no, there's still some people left. And there will be some people, their Iman was so slight and so delicate and so hidden, that only Allah Ta'ala knows about it, and He'll pull those people out. He'll pull those people out at that time. And so this story of this Hindu was in the context of this hadith. And so he said that Qari Tayyib, the Shaykh of Shaykh Amin, and the former rector of the Darul Uloom in Deoband, and just prince among the ulama, mashallah. Qari Tayyib said, I was reading from my father, Hafiz Muhammad Ahmad, the Mishkat, and I asked him, what, are such people still around? That there are people who walk around with iman, and their iman is so subtle that nobody knows about it, that no one would have even been able to guess that this person carries iman in their heart. So he said, his father said, obviously such people exist in every age, otherwise they wouldn't have been mentioned. And so he's talking about this Hindu who had this thing, that his one thing he did was he used to have his workers make wudu. So what happened is that this man, he's a wealthy man. He never formally converted to Islam. And then he died. And when he died, his body was dealt with, as is the tradition, the custom of the Hindus, that they cremated him, they burned him. And in the smoldering pile of his funerary pyre, they found that his heart hadn't burned. So Mawlana Abdul Qadir was emphasizing that iman is something that resides inside the heart. Obviously, that's the spiritual heart, not the physical heart. But the space occupied by the spiritual heart is the same space occupied by the physical heart. They said they found his heart didn't burn. So what they did was they took some sort of oil or liquid fuel, and they put the heart inside of that, and they set it on fire just to make sure to cremate the entire body, and it wouldn't burn. They tried it once, they tried it twice. After the second time, this is the third time trying to burn it, after they tried burning in oil twice, they knew about his love for the Muslims, And so their holy men took the order that the heart be given to the Muslims. They give it to the Muslims, tell them, now bury this, the rest of it belonged to us, this part belonged to you, now you bury it according to your customs and your rights. And when he told this story, I just had this feeling inside of my heart that, like, I don't know how to say it. You know, sometimes a person is overwhelmed by the ahwal in the dunya, what's happening in this country, in that country, how many fitan we have living in America, or just living in, just being alive in this day and age, this time and place, and a person feels overwhelmed. But then, you know, when a person, someone, you know, brings their attention to the rahmah of Allah Ta'ala, then you forget all of that. You forget all of those things. You forget everything. You forget all the negativity, all of it in an instant. It just evaporates in front of your eyes. So, I mean, these are people of mahabba and love. So Ustaji Mawlana Hassan heard this story. He said, I have a story I want to share as well. He says, yeah. He says, I read in the books that the ulama mentioned regarding a Majusi, a Zoroastrian, who was also a wealthy man who employed many people. And this is in a more distant past, several, you know, centuries ago, probably over 1,000 years ago. That this Majusi, this Zoroastrian, he was a wealthy man. He employed many people. But during Ramadan, he used to lighten the load on his employees, his Muslim employees, and he used to also not eat in front of them. And some people thought maybe he actually keeps the fast as well. He himself doesn't eat and drink. Maybe he's not keeping the fast from a fiqhi point of view, but he's not eating and drinking out of respect for Ramadan. And he once caught his son eating and drinking in front of the Muslims during Ramadan, and he scolded him. He said that don't disrespect them like this. You know, show some respect for Ramadan. Don't eat and drink in front of them. So when this Majusi died, one of the ulama of the city, they saw that this Majusi in a dream, they saw that he's he's enjoying himself in the gardens of Jannah. So he asked him, how are you in Jannah? How are you in Jannah? How did you make it to Jannah? You were a fire worshipper. You didn't accept the deen. You didn't live amongst us as a Muslim. How did you accept? How did you get into Jannah? And so he said, what? He said, this love I had for Ramadan and for the fast, Allah Ta'ala accepted it from me as iman. And he forgave me because of it. And Ustaji Mullah Hassan said something very strange to me. He said that this is something that the Ashab al-Kashf, they say that a person, whatever they have inside of their heart, if Allah Ta'ala looks inside and loves it from them, or has any small excuse to see iman in that person's heart, you know, he's the one, Allah Ta'ala, he said this is beautiful, he says that Allah is not dependent on the asbab are dependent on him. Allah is not dependent on means to get done whatever he needs done, rather means are dependent on him to occur, to exist in the first place. So he said, he said that the people, Ashab al-Kashf, they say that regarding people who have this like respect or love for deen, that takes these kind of subtle forms that we, you know, remember, I'm not just making this up, this is not storytelling. You don't have to believe in any of the stories I told, but the precept that there will be certain people that have such subtle iman that nobody will be able to perceive it from them. This is something established by the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Man kana fi qalbi mithqalu habbatin min khardalin min iman. This is established from the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he said that there are certain people at the time of death, Allah will send them an angel to command them to say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, and they'll say it. And this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from which no one is despondent, and that where no one is allowed to, we're forbidden and prohibited from being despondent from this mercy. And this is from that same mercy. And so, you know, he turned to me and said, Bhai Hamza, you know, undoubtedly you have many people in America that are like this as well. That may not have, you know, they may not, from the zahir, they may not seem like Muslims, but they have something inside of their heart that Allah Ta'ala loves. So, you know, just keep that in mind. Remember that always. So, and, you know, as a student of the law, we cannot go around and say this person's Muslim, that person's Muslim. Until they come to masjid and they say La ilaha illallah in front of the people, hukman, legally, they're not a Muslim. But what happens between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a secret that nobody knows except for the Rabb tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah is the only one who knows that secret. And we should never be despondent from it. Never have, you know, feel like we have mercy on people more than Allah has mercy on people. This is an underestimation of Allah's mercy, and it's a very gross underestimation that we should fear Allah's punishment from. And it gave me, you know, this thing that, like, you know, this interaction that we had with these, you know, mashayikh, it just gave me so much hope that if this is Allah's mercy for others, then inshallah we should also have good opinion of Allah Ta'ala, that inshallah He'll give us something good as well. Not give up working hard or give up the fear of Allah Ta'ala, but at least have some hope. Allah Ta'ala, ana 'inda dhanni 'abdi bi, it's so important to have a good opinion of Allah Ta'ala that inshallah, you know, as long as you're doing your best. If you're not, then get up off of your chair and start doing your best. But if you're doing your best, whatever it is, even if it's really weak, but if you're doing your best, inshallah, we should all have hope in Allah's mercy that inshallah everything will be okay. Inshallah, by Allah's fadl, we'll achieve His rida one day. By Allah Ta'ala's fadl, He'll give us so much. Wa lasawfa yu'tika rabbuka fatarda. He'll give you so much, you'll be happy with Him, you'll be pleased with it. You'll have no place to turn to find any sort of objection, no matter how much difficulty you have right now. That a day will come that Allah will give all of us from His mihrbani, from His mercy, from his fadl, His generosity and His grace. He'll give all of us so much one day that it will heal whatever pain we have in our hearts and whatever sadness we have about whatever and whoever and just everything and just all of it. It will overwhelm it one day. And it kind of motivates me more that we have to go and tell people about the deen. The deen is such a beautiful thing. And, you know, even if all of these shayateen and all of these tawagit and jibt and all these weird forces, the media and haters and, you know, hasidin, jealous people and racists and xenophobes and all these weird haters, they're trying to, you know, portray the deen as something very ugly. The fact of the matter is we know it's beautiful and we have to share that beauty with people. Who knows, maybe you tell someone something about the beauty of the Kaaba or the beauty of Medina or the beauty of fasting or the beauty of Ramadan, the beauty of Zakat, the beauty of the Salat, the beauty of just the name of Allah Ta'ala, Allah. Just the beauty of the name of Allah, just the beauty of Allah Ta'ala, that Allah is the one who, when you repent, He accepts your repentance. Allah is the one, when you ask Him, He listens and He gives to you. Allah is the one who gave you, you know, وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ, all the beautiful things you have in your life. He gave you your father, your mother. He gave you air to breathe, water to drink, food to eat. He gave you security. All the things, you know, we should remind people of all these things. We don't know which one of them, the love of that thing is going to settle in the heart of which person. Because of which that small, even if it's just a germ of iman that takes root in that person's heart, because of which that person will receive salvation. And if they receive salvation, then it's impossible that you're the one who's responsible for it and Allah won't reward you for it equal, if not more. That if that person is saved, then people like myself, people like us, we have hope also. Allah Ta'ala, maybe He'll save us as well. Ya Allah, please, from Your mercy and from Your mihrbani and from Your grace, whatever responsibility we should have had toward Your deen, we didn't have it, we didn't show it. Neither publicly nor privately in a gathering, when we're amongst ourselves, when we're in Medina and Mecca, when we're in our own lands, wherever we are. You know, a person becomes sad that about how they've been negligent about the haqq of Allah Ta'ala. But then you think, you know, if Allah will save such people also, then maybe people like us have a chance as well. And the reward that they'll get from our, you know, telling them the good word, then obviously whatever benefit that person gets, you'll get a copy of it sent to your account as well. So this is some small words I wanted to share. This Medina is a great blessing of Allah Ta'ala on the existence. This Medina is a place that's more beautiful than the Samawat and then the Ardh, than the heavens, than the celestial realm, more beautiful than the Arsh itself. This Rawda Mubaraka in which the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is, it's literally an excuse for Allah's mercy on the entire creation, much less mankind, much less people like myself. Just to turn in the masjid toward the noble grave and say As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah, As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Nabi Allah, As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Akhirat Allah min khalqih, As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Habib Allah. Just to be able to address the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and be with him, you know, just for an instant. You can be with him in physical proximity. If you're far away, you can also be with him in your hal as well. You can be with him by doing his work. You can be with him by following his sunnah. You can be with him by sitting in the majalis where his hadith is read. You can be with him by sitting in the majalis of dhikr. You can be with him by sending salat and salam on him from wherever you are. You know, just that blessing of being able to be with him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it cools the heart and it pushes away the worries. It's like, you know, hitting the snooze button on an alarm that's woken you up before you've been rested. You just need a little bit more. Allah Ta'ala says here, take more, take all you want, take everything you want. The whole world, universe was made for you. As long as you say La ilaha illallah, everything is for you. Take by the barakah of my Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If you're with him, then the buffet is open. Just take whatever you want in this world, take whatever you want in the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us so much tawfiq. Undoubtedly in this, you know, these words, there are many things people may find objectionable and say, well, you know, maybe you should balance it out with something else. But the ghalaba of raja and of hope in Allah Ta'ala in this place is so much that's just what it puts inside of my heart. Allah knows that there are many other occasions we'll have for negative reinforcement, inshallah. But for now, this is something I wanted to share with myself and my ahbab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of us, Allah ta'ala write for all of us his ridha, that he be pleased with us one day, after which we don't need to fear, nor in this world or the hereafter. After which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his tawajjuh of his rahmah will be with us wherever we go and wherever we are and however we are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala write it for all of us, for our parents, for our mashayikh, for our children, for our students, for all those who have been good to us, for all of those we love for his sake, for all of those who love us for his sake, for all of those who have been good to us, for all of those who we owe it to them to make dua for them, for all of those who have a right that outstanding against us. All of those people, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala write his ridha for all of us. Wa sallallahu ta'ala wa rasulihi sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam ajma'in.